Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, private label cosmetics products to help you make your business a success. And they've got a great private label selector where you can have products made in very small quantities, even just in time for the holidays. Check it out at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, you know, we all know that the economy today is not as robust as we would like for it to be. And, of course, one of the fallouts of that is a pretty high and seemingly increasing unemployment rate. And, you know, I think that means that it creates fantastic opportunities for us as small business owners to create businesses, to innovate, and to keep the engine of this economy humming along and using the talent pool that is suddenly available for us to help our businesses grow so that when this economy gets better, we can be right in the middle of the mix. And to help us do that today, I have Garrett Miller. He is the co-author of Hire on a Whim, Four Qualities That Make for Great Employees. Garrett is president and CEO of Cotria, a productivity training company. He graduated from the University of Rhode Island and worked for a major pharmaceutical company for 18 years, the last 10 as a manager. After an award-winning career, he began his last venture as a business owner, author, keynote speaker, coach, and trainer. His clients have included some of the world's greatest companies, and Garrett joins us today to give us some tips from his book. Welcome, Garrett.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, like I said, the economy is not, you know, what we'd all hope that it would be. So let me just start right off the bat with that. Does that mean it's like a buyer's paradise for small businesses these days when it comes to hiring?
Yeah, you know, it's we need to get used to that there's a lot more talent out there and that we can be more picky and choosy. I think the thing that we need to, where we stumble is that there are so many now to choose from. It's trying to figure out where the best is, and that's where it comes in. So I agree with you. It is a buyer's market, but in a sense, the volume of available applicants almost makes it more difficult because the pool is, in a sense, diluted, if you will. Does that make sense?
It does, Garrett. You know, just a firsthand experience, I just hired our first employee outside of myself and my husband a couple of months ago, and one of the things that astounded me was the number of resumes, just the sheer number. I was buried under resumes for a position that I thought would just generate, you know, a mild number of extra hours of work for me for a week or so. It was crazy.
Right. Well it's a good thing to have, but you facing the challenge that that small business, and it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I'd certainly much rather have it that way. But one of the things that your book talks about is listening to the resume. So let's go ahead and start there. And may I say that I wish applicants would listen to the job description before they sent in a resume. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that too. But how do we listen to a candidate's resume so we can go through them as quickly and effectively as possible and just kind of get rid of the ones that just don't fit?
Yeah, excellent question. So the first thing comes, I think it begins with, what are you looking for? And I want to put experience in my perspective. Experience is important, but the heart of the book is that there's something even vitally more important, and those are the qualities. And I know we'll get to those later, but so one of the things we're listening for is not necessarily just skimming down the resume and seeing where they worked and whatnot, but trying to find out what type of person this is. One of the first things that the resume can be shouting at you is the work ethic. And one of my favorite things to do is to draw a timeline. Okay, as I've let's say narrowed it down to X number of resumes, I still have a lot of skimming and sorting I need to do. So the first thing I'm going to do is draw a timeline, maybe go back 5 or 10 years, and fill out that timeline when they began a job, when they ended a job, and when they began an activity and when they ended the activity. Some of the things that are going to jump out immediately are gaps in the resume, stops and starts, the volume of maybe jobs they've had or have not had. Maybe they've just been at one job. But it's also going to show you or demonstrate to you what else they've been doing. Have they also been, you know, a Little League coach? Have they been on the volunteer ambulance squad? Have they been working as an intern within the company at a different division during that time? What that timeline shows me when I step back is it shows me that work ethic. Is this a person who's really busy? Is this a person who's involved, got their hands in a bunch of different things? And I've found in my experience, I'd love to hear what your experience has been, Donna, but my experience is the more involved and active somebody's been, the chances are they're going to bring more of those talents, skills, experiences to my company, and I'm going to be the benefactor for that. So that's the first thing I listen to when I look at a resume is I listen to what the resume is telling me about their activity level and their work ethic. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think those are really good tips. And I do have a question about looking for gaps. Let's explore that for a second because so many small business owners, and particularly women, which is largely our audience today for Indie Business Podcast, they really do want to hire other women. A lot of times they want to hire moms who may have those kinds of gaps. So if we do see a gap, do we sort of try to figure out if that might be the reason why before we contact that person, or can we make any assumptions from a gap by looking at other parts of the resume that may mean the gap's not a bad thing?
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And one of the other aspects in the book that we'll get to, I mean, that you may get to, is that we need to examine our biases. And for some people, once they see gaps, they think, uh-oh, turnover, bad employee, move on to the next. And I say, whoa, you cannot jump there because that's not fair and it may not be accurate. Because gaps may happen for a number of reasons, some excellent reasons and also some negative reasons. But make sure we're not jumping to conclusions. So gaps don't immediately throw up red flags to me, Donna, but I do want to explore them. Is it, you know, if you have a series of gaps, I want to possibly explore. Is that because you just haven't been able to play with others in the sandbox, you know, and people have asked you to move on? Or is it because every 6 months to 12 months to 18 months, you get bored and you want to move on with something? Well, chances are you're going to get bored in my company, too, if that's your pattern. But gaps are also, you know, I had to take care of my ailing parent or neighbor or friend or something like that. Those are excellent reasons, and that speaks to the quality of the person. So you can see if we're too quick in our judgment, we may be weeding out excellent candidates with great qualities.
And, you know, it seems to me like I'd love to know your thoughts on this. If there is a gap and you're a forward-looking, you know, proactive candidate, you might actually include that time in your resume and say, you know, I was taking care of my ailing parents. Is that something that's appropriate, or would you put that in a cover letter, or would you just leave it out entirely?
Boy, that is a great question, and I've never had it posed to me before. But as you were speaking, I was shaking my head going, I like that.
Well, you know, it's a scary kind of thing because, first of all, we're jumping back on the prospective employer side. You know, when I got resumes, I got to tell you, I barely glanced at the cover letter because I wanted to cut my search time in half. So
yep.
If I got a cover letter, I didn't look at it. And, you know, the other thing I did, I don't know, maybe you'll tell me this is a bad thing, is I eliminated everybody whose resume wasn't longer than a page. That's a bias, right?
Which wasn't longer than a page?
That was longer than a page. I'm sorry.
Oh yes, okay. Yeah, because I was just about to say, usually people don't want to spend time, and if it's longer than a page, they move on.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess if I was hiring a genetic physicist, I'd want to see the whole thing and all the publications and everything, but...
Yep.
You know, I was just looking for an assistant. So I guess it depends, right, on what kind of position it is.
It does. And you bring up a couple great points. One is yes, I do agree that was a bias, you know, because, you know, in retrospect, and, you know, I'm sure you hired a great employee and you're real happy with her and she's going to be a great assistant. But there could have been some very qualified people that didn't do a good job at writing a resume, and statistics show that most hiring managers, and it sounds like you probably fit into this, spend about 90 seconds on a resume, maybe even less, to determine whether they're going to make it to the next round of either resume reviews or even calling them for that first phone interview. But to your point about including somebody, including, let's say, non-traditional activity on a resume, boy, that is a really good question, and I think it would depend on who you are applying to. If, for instance, I knew that I was applying to yourself, who had a who had an empathy for maybe working women, and you know, let's say even men who may be balancing that family life, maybe that actually has a positive impact. And I'll tell you, one of the qualities that I want to hire, as you know, Donna, is maturity. And one of the things that really resonates with me in terms of maturity are the life experiences we go through. And you know what? You really grow up and you really learn a lot about yourself and about other people when you are going through some of those non-traditional life experiences, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, while you're talking, I'm thinking about how, you know, again, switching back to the employer side, let me ask you this. It is one way that we can minimize our time but still be effective to look for the people that you just described. That is, the people whose resume and or cover letter shows us that they have done even just a little bit of research about our company. Because what you just said is, you know, as the prospective employee, you want to include that in your resume or not, depending on whether it would appeal to the person in the hiring manager's position. And that requires you to do a little bit of work on the front end. So, Garrett, is it fair to say that that's one way that we can just sort of quite quickly discard people just sort of by looking to see if their resume or cover letter shows quickly that they've at least taken a look at our website, or at least they want us to think they have, you know?
Absolutely. When I used to interview back in my corporate days, and, you know, you'd ask, so what do you know about the company? And all of a sudden, silence would break out. You go, are you kidding me? You know, you, like you said, you couldn't do the minimal of at least looking at the website. So I think that's a great idea. And I think if I see in a cover letter or maybe the introductory paragraph is, a statement or something about the space that we are working in and a desire to work for a company that is exploring X, Y, and Z, and they're mirroring some of the language on my website, then I say, okay, here's somebody that takes an interest in me. It's almost like knowing somebody's name, Donna. If I began to call you Donna Marie, if I began to call you Mary or Marie during our conversation, all of a sudden you'd be turned off by that. Knowing my company and what I do is a way to pay me a compliment.
Good. So we can look for that. And, you know, I'll tell you just a short little story. The very first time I interviewed someone for the job that I recently filled, a very strong candidate on paper, clearly really wanted the position, emailed me two or three times, you know, every other day, just because I guess she could tell I was overwhelmed and just hadn't gotten to it yet. She really wanted me to know. She had followed me on Facebook. She had really let me know. And lo and behold, we scheduled our first meeting, and she was an hour and a half late and did not.
No.
And, you know, I mentioned that to you because I want your comments on first-time hiring managers' level of confidence. Because what I had to do after that was sort of go, do I try and maximize the 4 hours I've put into getting this person here? Or
mm-hmm.
because I had to wait. You know, we were not meeting at my office. We were meeting someplace else. So ultimately things did not work out because it got worse after that because I did the wrong thing and actually hired the person for a hot minute. But can you comment on situations like that? I mean, I guess it's probably obvious that I probably shouldn't have hired her, but I felt bad. You know, I just felt bad. So I want you, Garrett, to comment on first-time hiring managers' mindset. What's the mindset that we need in order to make this work and have, you know, the confidence and the wherewithal to say, you know what, I'm out of here?
Yep. I think you bring up a great point, and also a reality. And if you're like me, and it sounds like you maybe, I'm the guy last night crying on Undercover Boss,
right?
You know, I got tears running down my eyes because I'm a people person, and a lot of us get into business and we're in this hiring mode because we are people, we love people, but you can't adopt people. You know, we have to keep that emotional distance and say, listen, this is a huge step for my company, and I got to make the right decision because this person, I'm entrusting this person with my success. So you got to be vigilant and almost, I'm going to say, almost cold, because it is going to be a business decision. And the nice thing I think about the book is by the time you're done, with it, you will have an extra degree of confidence because you'll know what good looks like, honestly. And I think your first instincts were correct, like, are you kidding me? One of the things I talk about is trust your gut. Your gut is really a great barometer. There's something there that is saying, uh-oh, be careful. And there's a lot to say for that. I knew one of the most successful managers I ever worked with who was not a particularly good manager, but he was really successful. And I remember asking him, so how do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you rack up win after win after win after win? Now, I didn't follow that up with, because I don't think you're a good manager. And he said, you know what? I trust my gut. If I had the slightest uncomfortableness with a hire, I don't do it. And he said, you know, Garrett, I may have passed over some good people, but I think I avoided poor hires more often. So trust your gut. Don't let that deceive you. And there are some flags. You know, if somebody cannot show up on time, I'm not talking an hour late or 50. If somebody shows up 10 minutes late, I think they're communicating something about themselves. And there may have been some tragedy or accident or something that kept them from that, but you know what? You got to plan for that in business.
Yeah. Well, and it turned out that it was sort of a sad situation, but I have learned, Garrett. I have learned, and I love that you're bringing up the point about being nice without being cannibalizing your own business. I once had a friend who said, after her first round of hiring, she was friends with everyone. Everybody was nice. She had a staff meeting. She brought cupcakes, the whole nine yards. And she said, after 10 years in business, at every staff meeting, if you've had a project, there's only three responses. One, it's done. Number two, it's not done, and here's why. Number three, it's not done, and I need help, and here's what I need. It's like there's no
hitting
and hawing, and I love that.
That is great. Yep. And you know what? It took me a while to figure out how to manage that in terms of being nice. And it was, listen, it's okay. You're not judging them.
Right.
They're the wrong piece for this puzzle. They're the right piece for another puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That was very helpful.
So once you've read the resumes, so to speak, and you've sort of collected, you know, a number of people, what is your recommendation? Is there one for, you know, how many to put in the final let's interview these people stack? Because you ultimately want one of those final resumes that you pull out to be the one. You don't want to have to go back to the big stack again.
No. you bring up some great points because we don't want to put in all that time and, you know, like, boy, it's just a lot of work to do. But on the same token, if I can hire the right person,
mm-hmm.
and they're with me for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not going to have to do this again. So I don't mind taking a few more resumes than I think is instinctively, you know, I don't have a number, but I used to, you know, I would like to see 20 if
mm-hmm.
I had one position.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know what? If I grabbed a couple more and I did some phone interviews, then if you figure it's maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes of phone interview,
mm-hmm.
that's not a lot of time, because you want to know what takes up a lot of time is trying to correct a mistake.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Ask anybody who's hired somebody and then had to coach them out of the job.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
I mean,
yeah.
You'll lose You lose sleep. It affects your family. It affects your health. Take the extra time and invest it. You're worth it.
Good advice.
It comes down to you. Your health, your mental, physical, and emotional health is worth it.
Excellent advice. And, oh, my goodness, I can testify to what you're saying since this was such a recent experience for me. Now, let me ask you this. What if someone comes to you and is interested in a job? They haven't seen, you don't even have a job listing. And, you know, what are some of the things that we can do as small business owners to sort of maybe think about hiring when, well, let me just say it this way. All small business owners need help.
Yep.
A lot of small business owners put off the hiring decision because of some of the things we're talking about now, the time. They're afraid, they don't understand the unemployment compensation situation. But after you get past all of that,
mm-hmm.
I have had a number of people say, you know, that people are actually contacting them. They're forward-looking, proactive people that are finding them online, connecting with them, and seeing how busy they are.
Yeah.
And actually reaching out and saying, you know, maybe I can do this for you, maybe I can do that for you. Do you have any tips for people who may not be ready to actually formally hire someone and deal with all the tax implications and things associated with that, but do need some part-time help maybe on a contract basis? Can you give us some tips on making that situation work as sort of a segue to a full-time employee?
Yeah, and I like that step care, that step approach, because it introduces me to working with somebody, having responsibility, somebody reporting to me, and me having to coach somebody and stay on top of them, right? But because it's a contract, maybe a short-term situation, you know, there's safety in it for me. And I don't need to learn all of the ins and outs. I can wade into it slowly. So I love that setup. I also love networking. And you just described networking. In many ways, if we're looking to hire somebody full-time in a year from today, start networking right now. And you know what? You may find that you never take a resume, because through the networking of, hey, listen, do you know somebody who's interested? Or, listen, do you know somebody who would be good? Or you begin to ask questions. People, oh, I know somebody who's looking. I know somebody who does that, but they're only looking for 5 hours a week. And you're thinking, woohoo! You know? So we can reverse network. Of course, people are networking to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also reverse network and put the word out and say, listen, if you know somebody, and you know, here's a question I love, and I know you came across this already in the book, but if somebody's recommending somebody, what's the question we're going to ask them? Are they better than you?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And, or would you hire them?
Right.
Boy, that puts a different spin on the on somebody who's just trying to help their neighbor out.
Right.
It's somebody who really believes in somebody. So.
Right.
I love stepping slowly into it like you just described, Anna Marie, and hiring part-time first, mm-hmm. and contract people first, because that also keeps you very nimble. If things slow down, boom.
Right.
You know, you're not tied up in it.
Right. Garrett, what are your tips for negotiating salary?
Oh, that's such a great question. And
I know it's a huge one, too, and I know we can't cover it in the time we have, but at least we can't cover it in depth, but there must be a couple of things that you've experienced that, again, first or fairly green hiring managers need to know about that. I mean, first,
yep.
I guess, to know how much money you have, first of all, but beyond that,
right?
Yeah, what can you help with there? Do you negotiate with benefits? Well, what are your ideas?
Yeah, it's such a deep question. But you know what? When I wade into these type of deep questions, I've found, and I'd be interested to hear what your community is like, that I can pick up the phone and call somebody and say, listen, I'm about to do this for the first time. What did you do? I find small business owners to be a great fraternity or sorority of people who are willing to literally take an hour and a half to meet with me and share what they've done. I remember when I created my first website, I called on another small business owner, and they sat me down and said, here's all the things you need to do, and here's a few designers that I spoke about. It was amazing what I walked away with. So I would encourage everyone, don't recreate the wheel. Every small business owner who's got employees has gone through what you've done. And, you know, Zig Ziglar, who I'm a big fan of, He says experience is not the best teacher. Somebody else's experience is the best teacher.
Right.
So I think the community that you have developed right here is probably a great place to start.
Well, you know, and can I just echo that too? Because when my disaster person started earlier this year, I called a fellow small business owner in a panic and almost just really just so devastated because I was so looking forward to this and I had told everyone how great she seemed and I was so excited. And that person not only sat me down and gave me some tips, but she actually loaned one of her employees to me for a short period of time to tide me over until I could get some more help.
Oh, that is excellent.
Well, and that's what you're talking about with, you know, do this in a vacuum. No small business owner should be an island.
No, and you know the thing, you know, the quality that, you'll bump into in the book is humility, that the ability to know when you're lost and then ask for help.
I'm one
of those rare guys that will, the minute I'm lost, I stop and ask for directions. You know why? Because I can't stand wasting time and energy.
Oh, my goodness. You do that?
I do it because I'm so time sensitive, and I don't have a pride.
Wow.
You know, if I'm lost, yeah. And my point is,
be on your resume. That's awesome. Well, you know, in this book, I got to tell you, I want to share with my listeners, this book is called Hire on a Whim, Four Great Qualities That Make for Great Employees. And I want everyone to know that this is a pretty fast read. It's only about 100 pages long. The chapters are divided up so easily so you can see exactly what you're looking for. You're looking for ethics. You're looking for integrity. You know, what sorts of specific things you're looking for. You don't have to read it all at once. You can just go through one or two chapters at a time and really just make things work. Now, I have a question, final question about your book. Talk about hiring people that are a fit. Hiring for a fit is important. Hiring for substance is also important. Do you absolutely have to have both? In other words, can you take someone who's qualified but not quite a fit and hope and ultimately make them a fit, or do you need both at the very beginning?
So define fit, just so we're talking about the same terms.
Sort of fit like within your culture, you know, kind of that gut feeling that you get that there's a real jive here, there's a real groove here that I and other people in the office have with this person. Or, you know, it's not a bad thing, but it's not quite a groove, but their experiences and what they bring to the table is so significant.
Yeah, I think we're all there. And by the way, we can have that fit and fall in love with people that ultimately aren't a fit. Remember, it's a short honeymoon, all right? And that's why I continue to come back to these qualities. And if you hire the qualities, they're going to ultimately do well in the company. And they may not be, you know, if they have the four qualities, they may not have that perfect fit at first. But because they're teachable, because they're hardworking, because they have maturity, they're going to ultimately, like you said, come in to their own in the company, and they will find a prominent place. Because that's what we need. If somebody's not a fit, but yet they're teachable, right?
Point.
And they don't fight me every time I'm trying to explain something,
right,
or tell me how much they know, they're gonna wind up being somebody I can work with and grow.
Excellent points. I love that. What a great reminder that, you know, at someone who's willing to learn, we can teach them, but you can't teach people integrity and humility if they don't already have it. Garrett, we're closing out here. What's your website? Where do we go to find you and buy this book?
Oh, thanks. HireOnAWhim.com is my website. You can buy it there or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, those type of resources. And I have a blog going. I'd love to, you know, hear from you folks and your experiences and stories. And I do some Twittering, too. So we're trying to do all social media stuff and even podcasts right here, right?
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I found you on Twitter, also at HireOnAWhim, and it's great to connect with you there. Get Garrett's book at HireOnAWhim.com. Check him out on Twitter at Twitter.com/HireOnAWhim, and we will see you next week. Till then, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
Excellent. Thanks.